Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And I love this passage of Scripture, so I hope that you will go to it, because it really has to do with what I'm going to talk about this morning, about how to energize your worship. You see, there's a lot of different definitions of what worship is, but worship, to me personally, is when we encounter God and we worship Him by giving Him our attention, our thoughts. But for so many people, worship is nothing more than just showing up. You attend, you listen, you sit, and you leave. And if you do that, you think you've worshiped. And I want to try to change your perspective about worship. Worship is so much more than just doing your duty. Worship is so much more than listening and going home and saying, "Well, I've done my due for the week." And worship is so much more than that. And this morning, I want us to talk about how to energize your worship. Now, a lot of people think the way that you energize your worship is to have the best band in the world. You know, people will say, "We've got the best praise and worship music." And there are a lot of churches that are built on big bands and big musicians. And then there's other people that would say, "Well, you know, if you just had a preacher like, you name it, whoever you hear on TV, if we just had the right preacher and he was phenomenal, that people would come." But I want to tell you, when you really figure out what worship is, it will have nothing to do with the music, and it will have nothing to do with the preacher. You see, when you get an idea about what worship is, when you get the biblical idea of what worship is, it's the understanding that you're going to come into the presence of God and that He's going to speak to you. You see, you will have no need to go to church every Sunday if you don't believe God speaks. You really won't have a need to go to church on Sundays if you have a guy on TV and that has a good choir and a good message and all that. You can just stay at home, stay in bed. But when you get an idea that true worship is coming into the presence of God and encountering Him, you ought to leave this place energized. Now, if you don't believe in God and if you don't believe that He speaks, there is not much I can say to help you this morning. But if you believe there is a God and you believe that you can worship Him, there are some things that we can do to make this experience better. And it's not my sermon. I work very hard. I try very hard. And I grow every week, and I enjoy studying to try to make my sermons practical and helpful, because that gives me the greatest joy. You ask me what gives me the greatest joy, it's seeing you guys get it. It's seeing kids sing and get it. It's seeing teenagers get it. I mean, that really means something to me. What upsets me is when people don't understand that this is important. And when people come and they leave and they're no different and they have not felt the presence of God. So this Ecclesiastes passage basically tells us how to encounter God and to energize our worship. So let's look at verse 1. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version because it translates the first part of the passage better than some of the other ones, but as I go through the message, I probably will use the New Living Translation too. Listen to what it says in verse 1. "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God." This morning when you came, did you guard your steps? What does that mean? It says, "To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay in paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For where dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. What does vanity mean? Emptiness, worthlessness. And then he says, but God is the one you must fear. I think there's some very practical things we can find in this passage that will help you this morning and help me this morning worship God in an energized way. The first one is just practical. Energize your worship by arriving prepared. I mean, I don't think we understand that coming to church with our family might be the most crucial moment to being able to get a word from God. Now, here's the problem. How many of you have kids? I can guarantee you that for some of you, the most difficult day of the week is getting your family ready to go to church. There are some of you that were ready to strangle your children before you got here because it's chaotic sometimes. The reason I know is that I had four kids. Now, the good news for me was that I was the pastor. I never had to bring them. The bad news is this woman had to bring four children by herself every single Sunday morning. But many times what happens is we come to church and it is not any big deal because as we're going to church, we're thinking, well, I'm going to go do my duty. I'm going to get this over with. Some of you right now are going over in your mind your thing to do list and wondering what's for lunch. Well, we can smell lunch, which makes it a little more difficult for me. But many times what Solomon is talking about here is that people, when they become hopeless, turn to religion. Why? Because religion does offer hope. And so many times people will turn to religion, but it's with hypocrisy. In other words, they go, they show up, they hope they get something by being there, and they leave. That's not guarding your steps. Guarding your steps is going to any church. Now, y'all, this is the worst place to try to worship musically. I mean, music just goes up, it goes around. I mean, it's terrible for music. No one ever said, let's go have good music in a gym, right? I mean, it's like, you just don't do it because there needs to be carpet and you could spend $1,000. So we come and we think, well, we're in the gym. It's not really church if it's in the gym. No, that has nothing to do with it. If that's your mentality, as you were coming to church this morning, you aren't guarding your steps. God is wherever we are. And so when we worship Him this morning, He's in the gym. If we were upstairs, He would be there too. But the key thing we have to have in our minds is that we are here to worship Him. And when He says, guard your steps on the way to worship, He's talking about arriving with the right attitude, arriving with sensitivity to what God might want to say to you, not being business as usual. You know, if you're married, you will know, guys, one of the worst things is for your wife to get a major hair change and come home and you don't even notice it. Have you ever done that? I got my feelings hurt a couple weeks ago. We had our men's fellowship. Remember, Greg? We had a group of men there. My wife had gone with me to carefully pick out a new pair of glasses to wear. I show up. Not one single man noticed my glasses. Now, I really didn't care, okay? Please trust me on this. But I thought it was funny that even when I was around other people at church, the ladies didn't notice it either. And so what that says to me, that you don't guard your steps when you're around me. I'm Bill Ashburn, and I'm just Bill, you know. And here's the point. The point is, when we come to worship, it begins before we ever get here. It begins with the understanding that we in our minds begin to think that God's going to be there and that He's going to speak to me. Now, you will know this in your own personal life if you fly very much. I remember the first time I got in a plane, scared to death. And they come in and they talk about the oxygen. Remember that deal? If the oxygen comes down, you do this first. You put your seatbelt on. They always have somebody walk around. Man, the first time I flew, I was paying attention. I knew where every exit was. I, in my mind, knew where that cushion was underneath the seat, that if we crashed, I would be able to have that flotation device. And then someone told me as I was flying over the North Sea that it wouldn't matter. If you're in the water very long, you're going to die anyway. And I can remember being so in tune. But guess what? You fly about 15, 20, 30 times. You're thinking in your mind when they're going through that seatbelt thing, you're thinking, hurry up and get this over with. Let's just get on the road. Let's just get this plane in the air. Why? You become insensitive. You're not ready. And so what happens is a lot of times when we come to church, it's business as usual. It's going to be in the gym. Pastor Bill is going to be there. It's going to be Bob leading the music. You know, it's going to be a children's sermon. And what happens is it's just business as usual. And the tragedy of that is, people, the tragedy if coming to a service is business of as usual, then why are you here? Is there not a God that speaks? Do you not believe in a God that speaks? A God that wants us to meet together? Not all the time. We can worship Him privately. And the way to get the most out of a Sunday service is before you ever get here. It's to guard your steps. It's to make sure that you're ready. It's to make sure that you want God to say. And I wonder, have you asked God to speak to your heart today about what you need to do, what you need to change? If not, it's business as usual. You know, one of the things that we learned with kids and teenagers as well is the best preparation for Sunday is Saturday. You know, this daughter of mine right here sitting next to her mom, we only had one girl, okay? And we discovered with Kristen, Julie discovered with Kristen, we could not wait to Sunday morning to pick out her clothes for church. That was not, and you know why? Because it was a battle. It was Kristen and Mom over what she was going to wear to the church. So what Julie would do, and I don't know if your mom suggested this or if she came up with it, but she would let Kristen pick out on Saturday night what she wanted to wear on Sunday morning. So if there was a disagreement about what to wear, it happened on Saturday night and not Sunday morning. Now, the boys didn't care as much, but the key to Sunday morning was Saturday night. And I think that's true for all of us. Listen, as a pastor, the later I'm up on Saturday night, the more discouraged I get thinking about Sunday morning. I'm thinking I should have been in bed at such and such time. Why? Because to have a good Sunday morning, you need to have a good Saturday night. You know, my dad used to say if I stayed out at midnight and couldn't get up for church the next morning, you know what his solution was? If he had trouble getting me up to go to church on Sunday morning because I was out doing stuff Saturday night, you know what his solution was? I wouldn't get to do anything on Saturday night. Why? Well, that way, regardless of how tired I would never mention it on Sunday morning. What you do before you get here is so incredibly important. You need to guard your steps. But then there's a second thing. You energize worship by listening to God. Look what he says. To draw near to listen is better than to sacrifice, better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are doing is evil. Listen, The key to Sunday morning is listening. Not listening to Bill Ashburn, but listening to the Scripture and allowing the Holy Spirit to take what I say. Listen, here's the good news. As bad as I might do on a Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit can use it. And here's the key. The key is, as you listen to the sermon, as you listen to the words of a song, as you listen to the Scripture being read, it tells us that you're to draw near. It's to draw close to God. You know, when you're talking intimately to someone, what you do is you whisper, you talk quietly. It's a sign of intimacy. And the picture is on worship. On Sunday mornings, you coming in the presence of God, and you're listening to what He might want to say to you. God does speak. If you do not believe that God speaks, you don't need to be in church. And my heart goes out to you. Because we serve a God who speaks. You say, Bill, I don't hear a voice. I'm not talking about an audible voice, even though He could if He wanted to. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that voice inside you that says, you need to do this. You need to quit doing this. It's that voice that says, here's how you live your life. And as believers, God does that. But we have to listen. Church is not about a good song. It's not about a good message. It's about us being able to hear the voice of God. And that's our primary reason for being here. It's to listen. And you know, I was reminded when we lived in St. Louis, we lived in the first suburb out of the city. And we had a lot of international students that went to the colleges in the area. And I'll never forget, we had our church and we had a balcony. And there was this girl, this Asian girl, who started appearing in the balcony early on Sunday mornings. And she would be sitting completely by herself. And I used to think, what in the world is she doing? I eventually met her, and her name was Ju Young. And one of the things that she was telling me is when she came to church early and when she went to the balcony, you know what she was doing? She was preparing her heart to hear from God. It was incredible. And she didn't look at it as just a service to go to. She went up and was sitting in that balcony, getting her heart ready to hear from God. It touched me. So much that I recorded her name. You see, the point of being here this morning is to hear Him. We put the outline in the bulletin every week. Some people call them blessing catchers. But we put them in there because we want you to think about what God is going to say to you about your life. But you got to listen. Listening is incredibly important. Another way to energize your worship is by being quiet. If you listen to verse 2, it says, don't make rash promises. Don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on the earth. So I like this. So let your words be few. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. Be careful what you say. Come into God's presence. Be quiet. And then look at verse 7. He said, and I love it in the New Living. Talk is cheap. Daydreams, like daydreams and other useless activities. Talk is cheap. When you come to worship, your main thought should be to be quiet and to listen. You see, we don't like quietness. It's one of the more spiritual things you can do. I had been studying this week and I was in my office and I'd finished up studying and I had gotten a report on Squirt that wasn't so good. I just had to leave my office and I just went and was by myself. Why? When you're quiet, when you don't turn the radio on, when you don't get around other people. When you're quiet and you realize God's there, there's something helpful. Listen, let your words be few, especially when you're in the presence of God. Just learn to be still when you're hurting, when you're happy. Learn to be still in the presence of God. And you know what? He'll speak to you. It's so easy to think, well, I need to speak. I need to talk. No, you need to sometimes just be quiet. Relax in the presence of God. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. You know why we have trouble being still and quiet? Well, we're too busy. Like right now, it's probably hard for some of you to be still because you're thinking of all the stuff you got to do. Another reason it's hard is because we're so full of worry. To be still and be quiet in the presence of God with worry is hard. But here's what I'll tell you. If you believe that God speaks, try getting along with Him and being quiet and just listen. You say, I don't have to read my Bible. No. Just be still. Be quiet. So incredibly important if you want to energize your worship. Now, if you want business as usual, just turn on some music, turn on the TV. Don't be quiet. But energizing your worship is silence, and it can do that. Fourth thing, energize your worship by making and keeping commitments. I think this one is so, so crucial. Listen, he says, when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to Him. Keep all the promises you make to Him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Don't let your mouth make you sin. And don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise was a mistake. That would make God angry and He might wipe out everything you have achieved. Let me tell you the key to energizing your worship. Make commitments and keep them. Now I want you to think with me. Some of you are older, some of you are younger, but some of you, go back in your life to camp. Go back in life to college. Go back in life. Are there any promises to God that you made that you're not keeping? God spoke to you in a mighty way and you heard Him, and maybe you've gotten distracted by life, but you've never followed through. Listen, making promises, being committed to God is serious business. And you can run from it, but He never forgets it. He's God. And so the key to energizing your worship is to keep your promises. But I got a clip I want to show you. And I know it's Pastor Appreciation Day, and I'm running a little long. We had some things in there. But this is the way I remember this clip, and I wasn't spiritual at the time. But this is the way most of us make promises to God. It's Burt Reynolds, and he's trying to kill himself. But just watch and listen to his commitments, and try to decide if you're like this. That was the favorite part to me in that whole thing, was that he made that commitment to get 50%. I don't know if you're keeping up, but did you notice once he said, "I think I'm going to make it," it went to 10%? I mean, isn't that the way we make promises when we're in foxholes? I mean, some of you probably made promises to read your Bible, to give, to go to church. And guess what happens? When life gets... Here's where it gets us. It's when life gets easy. When it's not the stress, it becomes easier to forget the commitments. If you want to energize your worship, it begins with make some commitments to it. And remember, don't make those commitments lightly. You're making your commitments to God. And then the final thing, well, before I say that, what if you've screwed up? Here's the thing I know in a group this size, some of y'all made a lot of commitments and you haven't followed through. So what now? There's a proverb, Proverbs 24:16 is a proverb that I love. It says this, "The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again." You may have made promises to God and failed Him, but here's what do? You get up. You start over. You repent. You change. That's the key. So commitments are the key. And then the last thing, if you want to energize your worship, is to take God seriously. See, I don't think we take God seriously. I don't think we believe that He is God. He says, fear God instead. Respect God. Listen, you'll never be concerned about living for God until you believe there is a God and respect Him. Nah, you'll do what you want. It's your life. But when you understand there is a God who gave you life, it'll change the way you live. I want to close by reading just Isaiah 11:1-11, because it talks about the hypocrisy of worship and how sick God gets of it. He says, "What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who ask you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath, and your special days of fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual feasts. They're a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken." What Isaiah is talking about is the church that he's writing about played church. There is a huge difference between playing church and being the church. We're called to be the church. And I pray that you will. Energize your worship. Don't make it just showing up, paying your dues, and going home. Let it change the way you live. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love, and I thank you for your grace. May we keep our promises. When we fail you, may we restart our promises. May we live for you. May we understand the importance of encountering you. And Father, may we believe that you speak, because if we don't, we won't attend with open ears. But thank you so much for this church. I love them, and I pray your blessings on them. In Jesus' name, amen.